Hello, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alexander Picker from Hypoalpe Adria Bank speaking. I'm sitting here with my colleague, who will lead you through the presentation. Just wanted to say hello. I'm the new CEO of the bank since January 1st, and we will be happy to give you the presentation and answer afterwards your question. I would directly ask Johannes Fox to start with the presentation.
Thank you, Alexander. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for dialing in this conference call to present the year-end financials, which were approved yesterday by our supervisory board and which are, so to speak, as fresh as they are. I would like to recap for a second and remind you that we are now in the fourth year of the restructuring effort since nationalization. You might remember that we had a very significant loss in 2010 when we were at the beginning of our work and we cleaned up the portfolio as far as we know at that time. We had a slight positive result in 2011. We have a slight negative result in 2012. And I think now we are coming to 2013 and we topped the loss from 2010 with a loss at the consolidated group of 1.864 billion, and there are a couple of reasons for that, and I would like to talk you through these reasons. 2013 was the year where we received finally the decision from the European Commission, and the decision was in a nutshell that the group has to be wound down and that a part of the group can be reprivatized until mid-15, which is our so-called SE network, and that all the remaining parts have to be wound down, with an exception of Austria, which we had to sell until year-end 13. We anticipated in our plan, in the European restructuring plan, which we submitted mid-2013, precisely this loss. So this loss of 1.864 is not unexpected, but was expected since mid-2013. And you remember the half-year result, which we presented end of August 2013, captured already a significant part of that. Now, what is this loss? What are the components of this loss? In short, a significant increase in risk provision. We have intentionally thorough provisioned our portfolio to allow reprivatization of our SE network. We cleaned it up a third consecutive time, and also to completely cover the risks in our asset resolution in the sense of NPL, of the NPL portfolio. We have a complete coverage now with our collateral values and with the risk provision on that part of the portfolio. We had a number of additional one-offs, particularly in our SE countries, in the context of increased interest and FX-related claims from our customers. It was widely heard that we had a fraud in Italy, which we provisioned and remunerated in a significant amount. 109 million was allocated, and of that already more than 90 million were paid to the customers, where they were charged increased interests over a number of years, which we discovered at the beginning of 2013 and covered in the year 2013. And we had around 346 million impairments on real estate, due to the EC decision, impairments on the parts which are connected to the wind down on software and IT and so on. I think the positive, very positive element is that we were able to sell successfully our bank in Austria. You might remember that the bank was up for sale for a number of years. We managed within the given period until the end of 2013 to sell it. Actually, we sold it in December, so this was a challenging environment, We made a loss on the sale, but we were able to sell it still, and we believe that the bank has now good perspective and has been able to secure around 400 jobs in the region. Now, the loss of 1.8 billion is not the capital which we have asked our owner for, and the total recapitalization in 2013, with the last piece now paid in April 2014, was 2.5 billion. The reason for that is that we have, in addition to what we have done in the on the group financial statements, we have taken also provisions in the parent accounts, and we therefore anticipated the EC decision by impairing our participation, the SE network, which need to be sold until mid-2015, and Italy, which was brought in the wind-down status in mid-13. The two things which we have been able to position now in terms of future is that we are now, with this kind of result, able and believe on a good path to sell our SE network. And the second thing is that we have, after a very lengthy period, received now a very clear decision and final decision from our owner, the Republic of Austria, with regard to the wind-down part. HBINT, as you know it today, will be deregulated within this year and will be a wind-down entity which has the full and only focus on recovering the assets it has. On page 3, I really want to quickly talk you through a couple of numbers in the presentation. You can see income, expense, and operating profit. I think the main part of this is that the one-offs I have referred already previously are reflected here. But what it also shows is that even without these one-offs, the group, as it is set up today, cannot generate a profit. The asset base has shrunken so much over the last 3-4 years that we are now on this asset base not able to cover all the costs, meaning that if you adjust all of the one-offs, we would still make a loss of around 200 million as a group as of today. Very different if you take out the SCE network. The SCE network has been repositioned, scaled down significantly over the last couple of years, de-risked with a number of carve-outs, and is at the moment, after its third consecutive restructuring year and second year of a macroeconomic weakness and some countries in recession, at the point where it is able to break even, and we have some cost initiatives which will also address that point, so that we can, even with a prolonged difficult market, be positive. You see, on the risk side, we were able to reduce significantly the total assets by one-fifth. We are coming to 26.2 billion. We were able to keep the non-performing loans by and slightly reduce even to 9.3 billion. The risk costs, as mentioned before, are moving up from 309 million to 1.362. A billion, so 1 billion more than in the previous year. We were able to reduce on the funding side the bonds for which we have guarantees from the State of Carinthia and the Republic of Austria to 13.2 billion in the last year. We have a very healthy and good liquidity position, also given that all the recapitalizations have been contributed in cash. Our capital position is therefore excess liquidity position is 2 billion. We have a liquidity buffer of 1.5 billion, and we have just received another 750 million in capital, also in cash. The loan to deposit ratio, and I'm only focusing here on our SE network, came significantly down. We are around 155%, and the deposits altogether at around 4.1 billion. Again, you might remember we have close to 1.2 million customers in the region, with its 4.1 billion customer deposits, and the reduction from the previous year was intentionally because we repriced the deposits to a level which allows us to make some profits. We, on the capital side, this was a very difficult year. The losses resulting out of all these measures had to be compensated, and what you can see here is that we have received in 2013 significant new funds, 1.75 billion in 13. So you see that year end 13, we covered all the ratios in terms of a group ratio, but the parent level, the holding, was significantly below, with only 1.9% Tier 1 total capital ratio. The 750 million brought us back into the normal area of 11.1%, and we are aiming with this capital to achieve basically the next phase until we are deregulated. The risk-weighted assets as a consequence of all this asset reduction decreased also significantly. Most of what I have told you is laid out on the next page, and therefore I skip it. On the page 5, you see again our segments. You might know that from the segments which we had in the past, the four pillars, following the Austrian sale, we only look at three. In reality, these are only two, and we differentiate among us the SE group, which are the six banks in the five ex-Yugoslavian countries, and which are up for sale, and the wind-down area where we have the asset resolution. This is basically our wind-down platform, and we also now added to the overall wind-down area Italy as a bank, which is not doing any longer new business, new lending business, given the EC restriction. If you differentiate these two, you will see that we are basically having very different dynamics here. The SE group is a group which is healthy. The NPL ratio came down to 12.3%, and you have to see the 2013 loss of 285 million in the context of this further cleanup in the portfolio. We refer to around 273 million out of the 285 as one-offs, meaning that we are close to break even, and what we are addressing now is the cost issue. But you have to also bear in mind that this is the second year of recession, and we have a very low yielding, interest rate environment, historically lowest interest rate environment, still keeping up the margin, and the commission income and the cost income ratio has been already addressed, and you will see outcome and benefits in the future. The asset resolution part, I already mentioned what we were able to do on that one, except the high provisioning is we kept the NPL ratio stable. The ratio slightly increased because of the decrease in total assets, but the NPL portfolio remained stable, which means that there's a lot of dynamics in this portfolio. You have the negative migration due to the macroeconomic environment and a lot of hard work addressing this and basically recovering and reducing NPLs as such. Italy, you see, it has left a significant loss in 13 of 237 million, and this two issues. One is the reimbursement of clients for the interest rates I mentioned, and the second one is the higher provisioning reflecting the macro environment. On page 6 is just a summary of the previously discussed reduction assets and the RWAs, and also you can see here exactly the capital ratios where we are. Again, the liquidity situation is quite strong. Page 7 reflects again on the risk, and it shows that basically the total non-performing loans were in a further consecutive year reduced. We have now 9.2 billion, and the coverage ratio, also given the additional provision, has been increased to 86.2%. And what you can see on the rating scale, which is a very positive trend, we were able to increase the portfolio on the better rated scale, so from 1 to 3, 4 actually as well, there was an improvement, and 5, there is a higher percentage in the NPL, but this is because of the whole portfolio reduction as such. And what is particularly positive is that the new business which we underwrite in 2013 of around 700 million has been in far better rating categories, and if we look at the vintages, we can see that it is of a better quality and also of a better margin, and this is the result of a thorough restructuring of our SE network, and shows that now after 3 years the business, and in particular the new business, is really contributing significantly. I jump the page on the risk provision allocation to the segments. I think we discussed it already, and I would like to come therefore to the outlook for 2014. I mentioned already before, one of the most important decisions for us was taken by the Ministry of Finance and the government just this year. We had a very lengthy but important discussion in Austria with regard to the future of the group, and the decision was taken that we will be split in two parts. One part will be our wind-down unit. It will be a deregulated unit which will be held by the Austrian Industries, which is owned by the Austrian Republic and holds all the other industrial participations. And at the same time, the SE network will become an operational regulated entity holding all the regulated subsidiaries, meaning the banks which we have restructured and cleaned up, which need to be sold by mid-15. And we believe that we are in a good progress on that side. So these kind of two areas and these kind of two in future entities will be independent, will have different owners, and we are preparing for that, and that will drive more or less what we are doing over the next months, and hopefully we are able at the end of the year to successfully complete this transition, which will then bring also the whole restructuring into a far clearer and continuous structure, allowing in the future to have these two entities and these two groups pursuing their individual paths. That brings me to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, and please come up with your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question over the telephone, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Guido Vizundert from the Independent Credit Review. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks very much for the time and the information provided. I've got three simple questions which I would like to address to Mr. Poksch, and I hope for your understanding, because you've joined only on January 1st. My first question is, who actually decided that what you consider Eigenkapitalersatz would not be paid or repaid to Bayerische Landesbank? Could you give us the names of the people who took that decision?
I think this is the decision which was taken, and it was very clearly and transparently communicated end of 2012. And a lot of people obviously have assessed this kind of situation, and ultimately the governing bodies of the company have decided on that.
So what you're saying is it was the Vorstand of the bank at the end of 2013, because since then the monies are overdue, that took that decision?
Well, I think I have been very explicit. You know, the governing parties have to take such a decision and nobody else.
And the governing parties would be the Vorstand here, the management board.
In Austria, we have a two-board system. It's the board and supervisory board.
Okay. Then my second question would be, why haven't you chosen to go to court and get clarification first rather than stopping your payment obligations right away?
I would like, because I hope you understand that this kind of question is obviously quite critical as we are in legal proceedings, I would like to reply these questions via the normal route, investor relation. If you can ask this question, we will reply these questions as you can understand. You know, our legal team needs to overlook at that as well. So therefore, please let's take this as an answer for the moment.
Okay, but that means that I may come back to Dr. Unterkircher and you and your colleagues to clarify these points.
Yes, please do so.
Okay, that's excellent, because I would also like to pay you a compliment. In the course of the last couple of months, you've been the subject of a lot of commentary, and I think your communication policy has been good. It has been positive, in my opinion, that you have not felt obliged to comment all the statements made by politicians, civil servants, and other people in Austria. And in that sense, I think the bank has done a good job. What I would like to understand with regard to your cash position, you are saying that you've got 1.9 billion in cash at the end of 2013. Does that also reflect the overdue but not paid amount of which you owe to Bayerische Landesbank? Is that
no, obviously not.
Taken into
no,
consideration
no, we are,
there?
No, that's the current. This is basically the cash position which we have at the moment, and we are not considering the amounts of Bayerische Landesbank to be repaid. Obviously, we have our own funding and liquidity plans. But this is so 1.9 billion is the cash position end of the year. It remained more or less at that level, and now we have 750 million in additional in cash.
And if you had repaid, that liquidity position in cash would be a negative, theoretically.
Well, if you add up these numbers, no. But I think this is widely, you know, all the numbers are widely known and communicated. I don't want to further comment on this. I just would like to refer what the current situation is, and this is as laid out, 1.9 plus 750.
Okay. Thank you very much for your information.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question for today comes from Samir Patel of Lazard Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a number of questions. First, I'll go back to buying LB. When do you expect to have some sort of update or next court meeting in Munich versus those guys? Second thing is, the assumption is that those liabilities benefit the Carinthia guarantee. Is that correct?
Sorry, the second question, I didn't fully understand. What kind of guarantee?
The Carinthian guarantee.
So first, okay, the first question, this is obviously a topic which also involves our owner. And as you have seen, that the announcement is our owner is seeking a general solution to this whole situation. And so I am not aware of what the next timetables are.
No. This has nothing to do with the. This has nothing to do with the owner. This is to do with the next court date in Munich. There must be
okay.
a date.
I cannot answer this at the moment. And also here, I would really like to ask you to put your questions forward to our investor relation department. I am not aware of any date but it doesn't mean that there is one. I'm just not aware of it. The second...
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, because I'm aware that there's something towards November year-end of this year. But the trouble is with the situation, the trouble is that there's a lot of opacity because of the government's involvement. But it would be helpful. I will come through the appropriate channel, but it would be helpful to get some sort of clarity from this, from at least one party involved.
Well, I cannot give you more information than what I just said. I'm not aware of any, so maybe you know more than myself, but I'm not aware of any dates put into the schedule. But you're right, it's a complex situation, and many parties are involved in that. Second question is, my understanding is that there's no such guarantee because these were lines and loans given not under any kind of guarantee by the state of Carinthia. As you know, these guarantees by the state of Carinthia expired in 2007 and they were not allowed to give out any newer ones after 2007.
Okay, but then, I mean, you have the DLA's view, which is quite clear. It separates the guarantees, the liabilities that Carinthia will honour into three separate categories. And so, presumably, the liabilities that you owe Bylan are covered by this guarantee because they were after. They fall into one of the key dates where Carinthia would guarantee those debts.
To be very honest, I have not fully understood the question. I also would like you to ask this question, you know, formally, and so that we can really make sure that you get the right answer. As I said, I'm not aware of any guarantees given by the state of Carinthia post 2007.
Okay, so are you saying that the circuit, well, it's over $2.5 billion, but you know, you had $600 million to repay this year and around $2 billion last year, and those payments are obviously clearly you have earmarked as frozen or not to be repaid, and something that the government will address. But were those liabilities signed before that key 2007 date? Because if they were, then Corinthians has to repay them.
But first of all, I believe really it would be good if you ask your question in written. But you know that. The Bayerische Landesbank did not become owner before, you know, this kind of law which allows the guarantee expired, basically. So there's no such guarantee on these lines. But please ask your question in writing and you will receive an answer.
Okay, fine. That's helpful. And then the last one is, you have made significant amount of progress in the past couple of months, and you did repay the bond in March. But I'm just wondering, what is the outstanding guarantee and capital bucket that the government is allowed to inject on top of what has already been injected into the bank under the EC approval that was given in September 13?
Well, it was discussed already, and these numbers are publicly available. The EC decision came out in September, and it says the maximum of state aid which can be contributed into Hypoalpe-Adria is $5.4 billion. Now that's the maximum amount. Now you have to deduct from that we received 1.75, and now we received another 750. So out of the 5.4, we received 2.5 in the meantime. That's what is basically the remainder still available, which is 2.9.
Okay, that is just a pure capital injection. Would that include the guarantees that you've used in the past to basically artificially push down your risk-weighted asset number? So what about those?
Each and every capital measure needs to be aligned with the European Commission, and they and they approve it.
That's not my part. Maybe I'm asking a question very poorly.
No, but there are a lot of instruments. To answer your question is, there are a number of instruments which the government or our owner can choose to contribute and support us, which are all considered to be state aid. So there's no limitation to one, but obviously each and every needs to be pre-aligned with the European Commission and needs to be approved by the European Commission.
Okay, fine. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You've only got 2.5 billion left, and you asked for 1.75 last year, and it's another 750 million just gone. What if that runs out? You presumably have to go back to the EC and ask for further permission, at which point, given the EC rules have been changed in August 13, then you may be in that potential eventuality bail-in creditors. Is that correct?
Well, I think there's one point in that is not shared by us, is that the losses which we took in 2013 will be on a recurring basis, meaning that these were one-offs. Obviously, and you know that, you know, all the IFRS rules require basically to reflect wherever possible market values, which we are doing, meaning that, you know, at the height of the crisis or at the prolonged state of the crisis in which we are, the hit is the worst. That doesn't mean that we are not requiring also in the future capital, but we do not intend, this is what we always also say, to exceed the state aid which was decided on. Otherwise, you're absolutely right. If that would happen, we would need to go back to the European Commission, and a new procedure would start, or our procedure would be opened up again. But that's not what we intend, and that's not what we foresee.
But yeah, there is obviously the possibility that could happen. But okay, finally, just on, there's a great deal of, there isn't that much information on the SEE breakdown on a country-by-country basis. Therefore, it's hard to see what the actual coverage ratios are. So you only provide an NPR ratio. What are the coverage levels across those countries?
Around 50%.
On all of them?
Around 50%. We provided significantly NPL ratios 12%. And after the carve-outs which we undertook in 2013, meaning that basically we feel on the NPL side, which is around a billion, which is still there in the SCE network, we feel well provisioned, and we feel that these efforts which we undertook over the last years to clean it up brings the platform into a situation where we are probably one of the cleanest. We have one of the cleanest asset and loan books in the region, with 12.3%, as mentioned.
Okay, and I'm mindful I'm on a conference call here, so this is the last question. What is happening with the ECB? One, on the fact that they've basically cut your funding lines, and you did say that you have no dependence on them, but the fact is that that has a domino effect on banks that actually still hold your Corinthian bonds. And also, is there any AQR developments happening?
Okay, these are two questions. I mean, you're right, the ECB has excluded us from their funding facility, so for us, as also announced, there's no consequence in terms of liquidity because we haven't used these facilities at the parent level, it's also right, that it's our understanding that our bonds are therefore not any longer able to be used by others who hold them and other banks to be used as funding in the tender of the ECB. That's right, but we have no feedback on that side. Our liquidity situation, as mentioned before, is stable and more than sufficient.
Okay, and then anything on what's happening with the AQR?
We are not part of the AQR. Banks of total assets more than 30 billion have been or are part of that in Austria at least.
Of course that's true, but given the fact that you're in such a distressed position, wouldn't they be looking at this in conjunction with cutting your funding?
You know, these are completely separate things. The reason why, first of all, they did not cut off funding, but they exclude us with regards to the tender facility. But that is not coming because of questions regarding our asset quality. This is just related to the fact that we were below the capital ratios which are required. And as you can see, we have had at the year end 1.9% in at the holding, so we were significantly below. This has been in the meantime covered up by the 750 million, so we are back into the normal territory. But the ECB, once they take this decision, it takes quite long for them to reassess it, but that was the decision, and that was the reason for their decision and not our asset quality topic. So this, these are two completely separate things, and we are not, as I said before, among the banks which need to perform an asset quality review. We only had one bank in Slovenia where we had an asset quality review, but that was because Slovenia decided to anticipate basically this, given their own topics with their largest banks, state-owned banks. It proved that our portfolio in Slovenia was healthy enough that no capital requirement came out of it. This was just recently published, and we were informed about that by Bank of Slovenia.
I thought you guys had a capital shortfall of 150 million in your Slovenian subsidiary that was filled last year.
No, it was actually in the first announcement, it was 221 million. We went into a discussion with the Bank of Slovenia. We showed them that actually we made a lot of progress in 2013. We carved out further risk portfolios during 2013, and we recapitalized the bank already during 2013 before this quality review. And these elements were not considered in the quality review. And once we explained it to them, the outcome was that we didn't have a shortfall but a surplus.
Okay. Well, thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Bernd Volk of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks a lot for the call. I have a very technical and a short question on this loan-to-deposit ratio shown on slide 3, that the customer deposits, these are all real deposits, because oftentimes some bonds or retail placed bonds or other papers are booked as deposits. So these are all real customer deposits.
Yes, the answer is yes, absolutely. You're right. You have in Italy, for example, you have kind of instruments which are called the customer deposits or deposits, but this is not happening in our country. So the 4.11 billion of customer deposits are real customer deposits, and around two-thirds of this is retail, and that's the number which we have. And behind that is a customer base of around 1.2 million customers in the region.
Okay, thanks a lot.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question today. We will now take a follow-up question from Guido Vazondert of Independent Credit Review.
If I may follow up on questions by Samir. To the best of my knowledge, you repaid monies due to Grave, Kraftwerkswerke Insurance Company, another of your former shareholders. Could you briefly explain why these monies are not considered Eigenkapital ersatz by the bank?
To be very honest, I do not recall that we repaid anything to them, I would need to review that. Maybe you know more than I know. We have not, to my knowledge, repaid anything to Grazer Wechselseitige.
And how come, on a related subject, the asset wind down structure, following on from statements by various people involved in these matters, there is still considerable reason for doubt as to an insolvency is completely ruled out. In fact, if I remember correctly, there are statements that explicitly point out that even under such a private law defeasance mechanism, an insolvency of the bank and an enforced participation of the bank's current creditors would still be possible. From your point of view, how comfortable should creditors feel about Hyper Adria debt nowadays?
Well, it's obviously hard to speculate with regards to the future. And you know that our owner is obviously a political party, but I think the only thing I can refer to is the decision which was taken mid-March, and that was at the height of probably the insolvency debate, and the decision was taken that there's no such insolvency. What happens in the future is very difficult to foresee, and we are at the moment doing all we can finalize the restructuring of the group as laid out before, obviously we are aiming, you know, to avoid an insolvency, and we do not see that the insolvency is coming. Otherwise, we would need, and we couldn't have made a financial statement based on a going concern basis. So, once the statement is finalized, obviously you can read all the notes. Which give us the comfort, and not only to us, but also to the auditors, to issue as an unqualified statement and opinion. And that's, if you read it carefully, you can read what the basis is that lets us assume that we are not expecting an insolvency. That's our duty, and that's obviously not something which can be said for forever. But we don't see that coming for the moment.
Do you think your shareholder, the Republic, and the politicians governing it are competent and trustworthy enough so that you would buy Hyper Adria debt for your private pension fund today?
Well, I obviously don't want to speculate, and you know that I'm not allowed to speculate, and probably I would be the last person who would be actually allowed to speculate on their own bonds. And you have seen a lot of speculation of these bonds. You have.
Or are you just ruined?
Well, you know, as a CFO of the group, I obviously have to be prudent, particularly in this kind of environment. But people bought our bonds, people made money out of our bonds, and that's okay. I think the most important thing is that we have a going concern basis, and we have set up our financial statement on that basis.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I will come back via Dr. Unterkircher with further questions.
Please do, and thank you.
There are no questions in the queue at this time. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no further questions over the telephone at this time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening in. This, everybody who follows us for a longer period of time, obviously sees, you know, an interesting development. We really hope that we can now fulfill what we wanted always to achieve, and hopefully, you know, in a few months and following the next year-end financials, you will see that we accomplished a lot. Thank you very much, and have a good day, and have a good Easter break.
Thank you too. Bye.